Hello, I'm Larry Warren. Thank you for joining us for the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 that Jesus has redeemed us from the curse. And that curse included sin, sickness, poverty, and all fear. Because of the work of redemption by our Lord Jesus, fear no longer has the right to control your life any more than sin or sickness. After the attack of the United States on September 11, 2001, Brother Copeland began teaching the body of Christ about living fear-free. This message about freedom from fear is vital for the times we live in today. Fear is a part of the curse in this world, but Jesus has given us the power to overcome. Learn to apply your world-overcoming faith in every situation of life and experience the joy of living fearlessly today.
Second Timothy 1, I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift that love has put in you by the putting on of my hands. Notice it didn't say pray and get God to stir you up. He said you stir yourself up. For God, love has not given us the spirit of fear. Love has given us the spirit of power, the spirit of love, the spirit of a sound mind. Amen. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord or of me, he said. Now, do you see where shame is connected? You see who's behind shame? Sure wasn't God, was it? No. What do you do when you go through a toll booth? You roll your window down to either get that toll ticket or pay that guy in that booth. Do you reach over here and turn your Jesse Duplantis tape down real low? Ooh, you know, they may think I'm some kind of religious nut. Well, they think you're a nut, they just don't know what kind. They're like everybody else. They think everybody's a nut but themselves. Amen. And only a nut thinks that. That's the reason the whole world's nuts. No, you don't have to be ashamed of that. If you notice the slightest bit of shame of it, attack it right then. Attack it right then. That is fear trying to put a cap on your testimony. And it's not just that tape. It's not just the gospel music. It is the testimony of your life. You put a cap on that devil right then and you say, no, sir, I happen to be right about this. This happens to be the word of the living God, Mr. Devil, and I refuse shame. I refuse to be ashamed of the one who died for me. I refuse it. He loves me and I love him, and I am not going to operate like that. I'm not going to do it. Praise God. And like I said earlier, you're going to be shocked at how quickly the whole thing will turn around because fear is afraid. It is very afraid of you. Now then, I want to come into an area here with this and talk to you concerning our resisting fear, our confession of faith. The world has certain ways, particularly things that have been developed over the last 30 years or so, since the word has been preached concerning faith and the function of faith, the devil's had to devise some new plans to combat it. And so the world uses certain words now that they didn't use some years ago. And I want to illustrate this to you. First of all, let me say this. Don't cast your pearl before the swine. in a lot of cases, it's better to keep your mouth shut about what you're doing, particularly around religious Christians or other people that are believers, but they don't have any idea what you're doing. And did you ever notice that there are people you can get together with and two of you can just talk the word of God all day long? Yes. And there are other people that know the Lord and love the Lord. And you start trying to tell them some of the things you were telling that other person, and you can't even get it out of your mouth. Yeah. You can't talk to them about it. Why? There's no reception there. And fear is that blockage. They're afraid of any kind of biblical revelation or anything, any kind of doctrine or anything else that doesn't come out of our church. I don't want to hear it. And that in itself is fear. Well, why don't you want to hear it? I mean, you know, there's a lot of junk I don't want to hear, but it don't hurt me. And it doesn't have to make me mad at the person that told me about it. You know, I mean, I don't have to be mad at you about it. But fear reacts in anger. Now the world, and I started that by saying this, don't cast your pearls before the swine. Things that you're believing for, all of it sounds impossible to other people out there.
That's right.
And people that you're going to draw unbelief from, just keep your mouth shut about it. Unless they want to know, or if you have an opportunity to minister the word to them, that's a different situation. Amen. Now, there are times and situations that you have to say what you have to say and you have to do what you have to do in spite of the world, in spite of what they say, in spite of what they do in their presence, because particularly in some emergency situation where it has to come out of your mouth because you're now in the position where every word you say is part of your weaponry and you are fighting the fight of life. Amen. Like one of your children, something happens, or something happens to a member of the family, or something happens to you, and you're in the middle of a hospital here, and a situation where you can't afford to bow the knee of your confession for anybody, to anybody, or in front of anybody. Now, when that happens, the world has devised a system to come against it called denial. Well, she is in denial. It hasn't, reality hasn't really set in yet. And see, they have devised ways to protect themselves on all fronts. They never use the word healing. They use remission. Because we want to make sure we give the disease an opportunity to come back. Because it probably will come back. And if it does come back and I said you were healed, you'll probably sue me. What based that?
Fear.
That's what the whole system is based on, see. So, we have to function outside of and over the top of that and bind that thing where it is. Your fuss is not with people. Never. Never with flesh and blood. Your fuss and your war is with principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, or rulers of fear in this world. Are you listening to me? Now, let's deal with this word denial. There are certain things that we do deny. But we're not denying reality. We are in the process of exercising reality. But to people that don't know that, they don't understand what you're saying. Now, certain types of teachings on positive affirmation, which is really the truth behind that's the Word of God on a confession of faith. Did you know that the confession of just your human faith will work in limited fashion because even human faith was patterned after God's faith? But when you got born again, then what was a fountain of fear in your spirit is no longer producing fear. Now it's producing the faith of God. That's what Jesus talked about in Mark 11, 22 through 25. Have the faith of God. Have the faith of love. Talked about speaking to the mountain. Now, denial. There are religious systems that deny that sickness and disease is real. One fellow said to this little boy, does your daddy still think he's sick? He said, no, sir. He thinks he's dead now. Well, that's humorous, but that is a clear picture of the situation. We do not deny the existence of sickness and disease because Jesus bore it and it was real. Amen? We deny its right to exist in our body. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I deny fear. I don't deny its existence. It is a spirit. I deny its right in my life. I deny its operation in my thoughts, in my presence. I certainly deny its right to my innermost thoughts and the inner sanctuary of my being. Now, if you're functioning in fear, then God does not have access to your innermost thoughts, because your innermost thoughts are pushing you away from Him. Your innermost thoughts are creating doubt and unbelief. So we are in a state of denial all the time. I deny sin. We, you and I, call it resist because that's actually what it is. It is resistance, and we're using certain spiritual weapons in that resistance, so it's more than just denying it. We are in resisting by force. Now, let's talk here a moment about suffering. Open your Bible to the book of Hebrews. We should have no fear of suffering at all. Suffering, the Scripture teaches that the believer will suffer in this world. But now Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulations, or there'll be sufferings. But He said, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the sufferings of the world. Now, religious ideas and teachings mixed up the sufferings of the world with the sufferings of the believer. Mm-hmm. See? Well, I guess I'm just suffering this sickness and disease. I'm just suffering for Jesus. No, that whole thing is misplaced. You're not qualified to suffer for Him.
That's right.
Doesn't have anything to do with physical sickness, disease, weakness, pain, grief, sorrow, or sin. Has nothing to do with that.
That's right.
He bore all that where you didn't have to bear it.
That's right.
But there is a suffering, and we ought not be afraid of it at all. We certainly should never be afraid of any sickness or disease or weakness or pain or grief or sorrow or fear or sin. Anything He bore for us on the cross, however, we are qualified, instructed to, and expected to put it under your feet. Stand against it. The Bible said Jesus sat down expecting till His enemies be made His footstool. Amen. He expected us to resist those things. Whatever He bore for us, He expects us to resist them. Now, like I said, the world uses the word deny. We don't use that. We use the word resistance. We know what we're doing. But they'll come up and try to shame you and make you look like a fool. And if you cast your pearls before the swine, Jesus said, they will rear up and rend you with it. They'll make you look like a fool. Why? They'll make you look like a fool even when they don't mean to, because spiritual things are foolishness to the natural mind, and they can't receive them. They don't know what they are. They have their own system they believe in. They have their own way of expressing themselves. And to the rest of the world, they sound right and you sound like some kind of an idiot. So what do? You don't pay any attention to that, and you certainly don't walk afraid of it. You just keep walking through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. And after a while, they'll call off their dogs when some of their dogs die. Amen. Now, let's talk about pain, weakness and pain. We certainly should have no fear of that, because Jesus bore. They were laid on him, but he bore them. He had to receive your sickness and disease by faith. He was filled with life. He had to become obedient to death as an act of choice and an act of faith because he loved you and because he loved the Father so much. He bore that pain. Whatever pain is in your body right now, Jesus has already bore it in his. See? And he took it into hell, suffered there, and dumped that pain. He literally defeated pain in hell itself. Your pain, the pain that was designed for you that came with sin into this world, has been dumped in hell. So that pain lays into you, you ought to confidently say, what pain? I have no pain. I didn't say I didn't feel any. I have no pain. I possess no pain. Jesus bore my pain. My pain was laid on him. He bore my pain, and I resist the thought of it. Now then, if you'll do what the Word of God says and cast that thought down, why would you want to do that? Well, if you concentrate on that thought that includes that pain, then yeah, I guarantee you it'll make your faith feeble and everything else. And if you will... If you will resist it, how do you resist a thought? You can't fight thoughts with thoughts. You fight thoughts with words, out loud words out of your mouth. God created you like that. Words have authority and preeminence over thought. That includes pain. That includes pain of all kinds. The devil will set up pain that's not physical pain, but emotional pain. And if he can get you depressed and get you into that emotional pain and pull you down into that valley, I'll tell you, it takes some decision to get out of there because your flesh wants to stay there. Your flesh does not want to resist that. And you can go to one psychiatrist after another, and if you don't resist it, it ain't never going to go away. And it's a hurt that comes right down here inside of it. It's amazing, though, if you make a decision by faith, absolutely, I'm telling you, you just have to grit your teeth and tell your flesh what to do and tell your mind what to think and say, I'm not receiving this any further. I'm coming out of here in the name of Jesus, and just begin to praise God out loud. It's amazing how fast that depression will go. It'll fly out the window like a scared bird. Why? It has no authority over you whatsoever. Amen. So, learn how to resist whether your flesh likes it or not, whether your mind likes it or not. Resist any kind of temptation, any kind of pressure to yield to sickness, to yield to pain, to yield to depression, oppression, to yield to any kind of darkness. All of that is an entrapment to get your faith out of action, get you out of action. And he tried it on Jesus and never was successful at it. He thought that he was. When Jesus yielded and became obedient to death, the devil thought he finally got him because he finally yielded to the pressure. That's what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's the reason he bled through the pores of his skin. And he experienced your fear for you. You got the book of Hebrews there?
Yes.
All right, now notice this. Let's go back here to the second chapter. Verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. He didn't suffer poverty. He didn't suffer sickness, disease. He suffered all that at the cross. But he was already obedient. He'd already learned obedience by the time he got there. What did he suffer? Well, that just showed you there. He suffered being tempted. He learned obedience. He knew he was obedient to his Father, and all the time untold before he came into this earth, but he got into this earth for the first time in his life he was ever tempted to be anything else other than obedient to his Father. And he resisted everything, every temptation. He resisted it. And he learned what obedience was by resisting, by suffering. That is spiritual suffering. That's what you and I are anointed to do. We are called to do it. We stand in the Word concerning it, and we ought not have any fear of going anywhere, anytime, being called of God to any part of the world, being afraid we're going to suffer, being afraid we're going to be persecuted or something, persecuted or prosecuted, either way. I mean, our suffering that we suffer is resisting the things that Jesus bore for us on the cross. He bore sin. We resist sin. I don't care if it's sinful politicians or who it is. We are a resistance to sin. We resist sin in our own lives. We resist sin around us. We resist sin in the church. We resist sin everywhere sin is, praise God. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm a free man. I'm a free man. I have no fear of death, therefore. It holds no fear for me. Now, you develop faith in life. Study about the life of God. Talk about the life of God. Talk about how much He loves you and what He did for you on the cross. Center up on it and talk about it all the time. Talk about it. Talk about it. I'm telling you, it is shocking. I've said this several times today, but I really want to get it over to you. It is shocking how fast the love of God will flood your spirit and drive fear out of there. I mean, it just leaves. Like I said, fear is afraid. And it'll leave. Glory to God.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here to pray for you. If you need prayer for something in your life, we have trained and licensed prayer ministers who are filled with God's love, standing by to pray with you in faith and according to God's word. Just give us a call at 817-852-6000. And let us help you receive God's promises into your life.
Whether you've remained constant and confident in the face of what is happening in the world in your life, or have felt the pressure of fear try to take control of your thoughts and conversations, understanding and emphasizing the authority we have through the name of Jesus and how to use His name changes everything. In the Power of the Name package, Kenneth Copeland teaches on the foundational scriptures and revelation that taught him to use the name of Jesus since the beginning of his ministry in 1967. Included is a 6-message audio series titled Jesus, the Name Above Every Name, with a companion study guide of topical overviews, outlines, questions, and space to take notes as you listen to the teachings. As part of the family of God, you have the right to use the name of Jesus and all the power that is behind it to change habits, mindset, and the physical world around you. With the power of God released in your life through speaking the name of Jesus, your life will be transformed. There is a name that is above every other name, Request your free copy of the Power of the Name of Jesus package, an MP3 series with study guide from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. As a member of the family of God, you have the right and authority to use that name and walk out your victory. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. If you're outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
This week, we're celebrating Thanksgiving here in the United States of America. Our founding fathers established this nation as a place where we could freely worship God and proclaim the good news of the gospel without fear. God has not forgotten his covenant with our nation, and with his help, we'll continue in the liberty that comes from following God's word. Believers in the United States have so much to be thankful for, and the greatest thing we can be thankful for is God's everlasting word. God has given us his word as the key to living victoriously in every area of our lives. With God's word, we find out who we are in Christ Jesus. With his word, we discover all that he's promised us as children of God. With God's word, we build up our world-overcoming faith to conquer every challenge in this world. The eternal principles of God's word is what Kenneth and Gloria have dedicated their lives to teaching for over 57 years. The word of the Lord came to them saying, "I want this uncompromised message of faith preached on every available voice, from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle." The Copelands have been faithful to carry out that mandate. With every advancement of technology, we're sending that uncompromised word of faith further and faster than ever before. This is all made possible by our supply from the Lord Jesus Christ and faithful support of our partners. Thank you for every financial gift you sow into this ministry. Together, we're reaching the lost with the truth of God's word and helping believers discover who they are in Christ. Because of your partnership, you have access to the same anointing that's on Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and they're praying for you every day. Before we go, I want to bless you and bless your offering. Father, you bless us going in and you bless us going out. You bless us as heirs according to the promise. And in the name of Jesus, I declare the Lord of harvest. Increase every sower more and more. I decree them blessed by the blessing of Abraham. Amen. Thank you for joining us. And until next time, this is Brother Larry reminding you, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for praying and sowing into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We are believing with you for the harvest on the seed you have sown. To give by text, you can text the letters KCM to 36609. Together, we are sending the word of faith to people around the world.